Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Reveille, reveille, dogs.
Look at us now, tip to tip. This is our life. This is our passion. That's the spirit we bring to this show.
I'm Luke Thomas.
I'm Brian Campbell.
This is Morning Combat.
Oh, yeah. Monday, but not a regular one. A holiday, Monday, Memorial Monday. Day. So good to me. It's Morning Combat, and this is a special holiday edition. How about a little bit mailbag? All right. How about we put two hands under that bag and puff it up? I'm Brian Campbell, the BBC with that BDE, one half of your MK duo. And Luke, on this holiday, what we're not recording it on a holiday. Luke Thomas from Washington, D.C. I don't know what I was teeing you up for, but all I know, Luke, is you're here, I'm here, and this one's for the soldiers, the ones that have fallen in battle.
I would say any service member, not merely soldiers, because you can get sailors, you can get Marines, you can get airmen, and it goes on from there. But yes, this
seamen,
is
Luke, too, right?
You can get seamen, you disgusting little motherfucker in the back of an Arby's. That's what you can do. But this is a day for folks who might be confused. On Memorial Day, I'll walk around here and people will be like, "Thank you for your service," and I'm like, "Right, that's not today. That's not today." You can save that for Veterans Day. Today is the day where we honor the fallen. BC, for folks who don't know, if it's not too late, you're watching this and you actually do live in the area, you can go lay flowers at graves at Arlington Cemetery. It's volunteer. They take volunteers. You can show up and then place flowers there. So I recommend everyone do that once in their life. It is a stirring experience when you go from guy like 18 years old, 19 years old, 19 years old, 18 years old, 19 yeah. years old. It's fucking insane, you know?
Indeed. Well, we are here for you on this holiday. I mean, I don't see the other shows that we compete with for all these awards that we win, putting out great content on holidays, but we'll do that for you. Recorded a couple days or so in advance due to the space-time continuum. But yes, Monday, May 29th, 2023. And Luke, we solicited through the powers of social media to our viewers sex. And it turns out a lot of them have done that before. Look, they've paid for it. Just like all your
hardcore pornography. Yeah.
We solicited questions to our great audience, and we have received a pack full delivered to us by our fine producer, Mikey Mormal of CBS Sports. So reminder, we're normally here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You already know that. Tip our waitresses. Shout out to Showtime Sports, CBS Sports. Follow us below at the social channels. I'm sure there's 30 days of free Showtime at the end of that. Showtime.com rainbow. So why don't you check that out for all the finest in combat sports and beyond. And Luke, do I have merch in front of me? Normally, that's the only thing I'm wearing. But, you know, we got great merch as well at morningcombat.store. Luke, any Memorial Day traditions beyond what you mentioned, or can we get into these questions?
I think a lot of cities are like this, but where I live, it's this way. We're on Memorial Day weekend is when they open all the citywide pools. And some of the pools in the city are trifling. Some of them are actually like amazingly good. So I found a couple that are like shockingly very nice. They're free to DC residents. And my daughter freaking loves the pool. So I'm going to take her there.
All right. Very, very important question. This is not a bit at all. I'm going to assume you're a public piss in the pool guy because, you know, you can't trace that. There's no receipts, right? But are you a public piss in the pool guy when your own family is in that pool, Luke? That's where we would know, you know, how.
So I haven't been yet, but I'm not against it in principle. Everyone just bathing in my urine, you know.
Like a Hell's Angels in and over a sink, right? Yeah.
Come shower in my piss.
Yeah. All right. Enough of that bullshit. Look, let's roll on here. This today is a holiday celebration.
You see what Mikey wrote in the chat?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. R. Kelly Thomas over there. Indeed. This is for the fallen troops, Luke. And this is for our fans. And, you know, in hindsight, should Showtime Legal have edited out that Pat Tillman joke I made? The timing, the delivery, Luke, it was pretty exceptional, right? That one time. Remember that?
Yeah,
time?
Exceptionally fucking stupid. And it ruined the whole thing because it didn't come out till like 9 weeks later.
Let's start off with a question from MK viewer Max Vermeer. And Luke, this donk says, if the UFC announced that from now on, a BMF belt would be introduced to every single weight class. Good Lord, Max Vermeer. Jesus. Which two fighters from each weight class should fight for it? Do you want to do this?
That's not a bad question. All right, let me think about this. So
I'm opening up
lightweight. At lightweight, you're getting it. Say again.
True. Let's start a flyweight. Men's fly. Well, men's flyweight here, Luke. Brandon Moreno, the champion, could he fight? Could he try to unify the flyweight belt with the BMF belt, Luke? Against who?
I'm not sure who would be that guy on the other end in terms of that. I've said Henry Cejudo, but they don't want to do it that way.
Yeah. Maybe him against Figgy number BMF. See, this is why this is lame. Let's just have one BMF title. Why do we have to have one for every division? But for the sake of it, Luke,
I'll say at 145, you know who it is. It's Topuria and Emmett.
Ooh, that'd be hellacious. That's
a sick. I mean, they're gonna fight, and that one could qualify. Yes, Max could qualify too. Yeah, I mean, yeah, dude. This is why the BMF thing is stupid. They're just putting it on there to sell pay per views. I mean, it's got nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. Just to close though, to get so that Max can feel good, Luke. Who are you picking at women's featherweight?
Dude, okay. Do they have any women's featherweights left besides Amanda?
I think what's her name is teaching class right now, Luke. What was her name? She used to fight for a title at 145.
She's from the Canada. Canadian? Yeah.
Yeah, the Canadian.
Not Norma Dumont, thanks. But I forget her name. Yeah.
The chick who fought the other chick. Yeah, this is great content right now. No, Luke. No.
I'm really glad we're recording this and everyone's listening because it's very, very good. Dude, I'm looking at UFC.com/rankings right now, and literally under Amanda Nunes as the featherweight champion, there's not a fucking person listed.
And there never has been since the division was first birthed. Amazing. Thank you very much. Moving on. This is from Screw You. Screw you. Screw you, right? With the whole Loma Haney scoring debate going on, what was the three most absurd judging or referee decisions on your memory? Luke, of modern or so combat sports lore, what do you reach for? What do you reach around to when you're talking about the go-to of the worst judging or referee decisions in combat?
The worst judging one, again, I've said it before, I'll say it again, especially under the old criteria, was Mike Easton versus Chase Beebe, an absolutely incomprehensible, even to this day incomprehensible, but especially under the old criteria, just completely thoroughly incomprehensible to the point where you have to ask like whether the judges should be investigated, you know, that bad, like you just cannot understand it. That one's really bad. That was in terms of reffing, dude, how about, I mean, we just saw it with Tony Weeks, that shit.
Yeah.
Again, dude, I'm not the first person to like cry corruption. Neither are you. We don't really go to that very often. But I'm just going to be honest. Like, dude, when you see something so bad that you're like, dude, a human being who's been doing this for some time couldn't possibly, like, you'll get them right, you'll get them wrong. You'll get ones that people feel strongly about. But then every once in a while, one happens where you're like, it's not possible for someone who does this for a living to do it this poorly. Right? It's not possible, actually. So something else has to be afoot. They have to be blind in one eye, I didn't tell you. They have to be taking a bribe and, you know, whatever. Like something has to be off with them. And I don't know what that was in any of these cases, or maybe there's not. I mean, maybe they're just absolutely, you know, old and brain damaged, whatever. but it makes you at least think that when you see a decision like Easton over BB or Tony Weeks stopping it for Rolly Romero over Burruso.
I think we've said time and again that we believe the Haney Loma controversy is overblown, and they may not have gotten it right, but it doesn't mean it was a major controversy in our opinion. But in relation to Tony Weeks stopping Burruso versus Rolly under those circumstances and missing the knockdown before it, that was clearly a push. I did get some people long after the fact going, hold on. Like, cause here's the problem, Luke. This isn't like a natural villain. This is Tony Weeks. Like, dude, he's the guy that made Corrales Castillo one, you know, go from an all-time great fight to maybe the greatest fight of all time. Maybe. He was the referee on the unfortunate bout with Eidos Yerbosinali taking on David Morrell Jr. on Showtime a couple months back in the super middleweight division that led to Yerbosinali being in a medically induced coma and certainly having, you know, a life or death scare there. I'm wondering, Luke, if maybe we're overlooking that Tony Weeks did get some smaller level of controversy from that fight for not stopping it when it became so one-sided. Do you think there's a chance that Tony Weeks was super, super gun shy? And it's not that makes the situation better, but at least it helps you understand it. So you're not living in the, oh God, when does Tony Weeks' new Corvette show up in his driveway and this sport sucks? And why do we always waste our time here?
I never understand these arguments at all. It's like, dude, the decision is not good or bad because Tony Weeks made one out of regret or, you know, he is reacting to something that previously happened. Either it's good or it's bad because it's in the fucking strike zone. Period. Like, whether or not he has some motivation based on another job, and I don't remember the details of that fight enough to say he did that job poorly or not, so that's not what I'm suggesting. But to answer your question about whether or not he is influenced by these factors, dude, none of that matters. What only matters is, did you do this job effectively in this instance?
Yeah, no, he didn't.
And he simply fucking did not. Like, he did not.
That does matter is because in boxing, Luke, you don't tend to lose your job for that. So it's usually like we just have to figure out corruption or not corruption. That's what we're trying to figure out.
All I mean to say is that's fair. But when I say it doesn't matter, what I mean is when we're judging whether or not a referee's interference was justifiable, please, you know, not to you, but like everyone out there, you can absolutely disregard all of those other factors. They are judged on their ability to meet the requirements of what a stoppage should look like under what conditions. Either they meet that threshold or they do not. And if they're so clearly departed from it, whether or not they felt something or they were reacting to something else that had happened to them, absolutely fucking irrelevant. You need to be able to execute the job as it requires every time, irrespective of previous incidents. Sure, Get the fuck out of here with that.
And obviously for boxing, there's a ton of comparisons of you know, worst in both categories. I mean, Pacquiao Bradley won for a decision. Canelo Triple G won for parts of that decision. You know, everyone goes to, and they should, Luke, Chavez versus Pernell Whitaker, which was a draw in the Alamo Dome on Showtime pay-per-view, yet was a clear Pernell Whitaker win with our eyesight. And, you know, for referee stoppages, everybody goes, of course, to Chavez versus Meldrick Taylor. Although I still defend Richard Steele in that very gray area of that. You know, if you see a fighter who needs to be stopped, it doesn't matter if there's 1-3 seconds left on the, you know, 3 seconds, 1 second left or 100, you know, like you stop it. But, you know, certainly we've had questionable stoppages in boxing and big fights in terms of the timing. And to be fair, usually all of them involve Don King, just to be fair, Luke, in terms of historic sense, just so we're all on the same page here in this great sport. Let's go over to a man named Wack. I mean, it could be a woman, Luke. I'm not trying to be rude here, but W-A-K, Wack. Curious if Luke has seen a fighter that can be put on the same level as Chewbacca when it comes to being bout it.
Well, first of all, don't you dare besmirch the name of Chewbacca by comparing any mortal man to that excellent motherfucker, number one. Should there be a comparison?
Because you not only have to be a loyal friend and be bout it, you have to be a badass. you have to be kind of hilarious too. You have to drink and smoke and get chicks, human chicks, actually.
See, I'd say Tony Ferguson, but he's a little too out there. Like, Chewbacca's also kind of laid back a little bit, you know? You've seen that gif of him, like, rubbing. He's like, yeah, I got the ladies on my side, you know? Chewbacca was laying pipe. God only knows what he's got in his dungarees.
I mean,
so no, like, this is why Chewbacca's one of a kind, dude, because all your friends who are about it are kind of aggro. You know, they're about it because they're always on edge. Chewbacca's the one hitting the ball, and it's like, Chewbacca, we got to go fuck this guy up. And Chewbacca's like, I don't want to go. It's like, come on, man, we fucking need you. And he's like, all right, I'll go. Yeah. He puts the bong down, then he goes and rips someone's arms out of their socket. You know, there's no one, you don't have a friend like that.
No, no, you don't. You certainly don't. I don't. Let's go over to Matthew Solera. He wants to know who would win 18 holes of golf, BC or LT? Interesting question here, Luke.
I've never played 18 holes of golf. Have you?
What does that even mean? You've never played 18? You serious?
I've never once in my life.
All right. How often do you golf 9 holes then?
Once every couple of years, if that.
Yeah. See, I'm on that path too. I'm on like the once every 6 to 7 years. I do have clubs, but they were from an old guy in Florida who was half my size that died, and my dad inherited them and gave them to me, Luke. So it's always embarrassing, but I do have the clubs to like show up with. If you were like, yo, dude, let's go golfing next time, I'd be like, all right, I guess here's my clubs. And then you'd laugh at me, but I would be okay with it because I hate golf, Luke. But you know, I can put together like an okay stretch. The problem is that once it goes off the rails with like, you know, hitting a shot behind you or like, you know, just something ridiculous, it's my night's over. My day's over, Luke. It's over. It's over. You know what I mean? Like, I'm competent for a certain amount of time, but then I turn into a gremlin.
I wanted to see how long I could mouth breathe before you would interrupt. yeah, you're a gremlin no matter what. So am I.
It would be a gross game of golf, but I think I could beat you over 18 is what I'm saying.
It sounds like you could. Yeah, it sounds like you could.
But I'm bad. I do
putt-putt once a year.
What's that? Like
mini golf.
You talking about miniature golf? Oh, yeah. I thought you're talking about, cause you know how there's an in-between. What do they call it? Chip and putt. There's an in-between of miniature golf and golf. It's like a 3-hole thing where you have like a putter and a chipper. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I've actually never seen that.
Yeah. They're basically, you go to golf courses that have this little side area and there's like 3 mini golf holes and you like chip to tee off and then you'd putt. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever.
Dude, DC has this, you know, it has really good public resources. Obviously like any kind of public golf course is going to be ass compared to congressional, which is, you know, quite the opposite. But you know what I noticed that they did do when I was there last time? Because I go to the driving range. I do like the driving range. That part is my favorite. I noticed that they were converting certain parts of the golf course to the one where people are doing like kicking soccer balls into these giant holes. Have you seen that?
No.
They're calling it foot golf. I'm not doing a bit. Like 60 minutes of the whole special on it, and I kind of ignored it. And then a year later, I saw it at my fucking local public golf course. Where they're, it's like, I don't know if you play 18 holes or not. I'm not exactly sure the rules, but they have giant holes like this, and you actually kick like a soccer ball, like you would, like if you were golfing, you opening kick, and then you kind of putt it, you know, all that shit. I don't know. Anyway, I feel like it's a game for bored white people who are also losers and probably, you know,
who grew up as only children and they played alone a lot. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I
know, you know, the kind of person you just don't want buying an AR-15. I'll just leave it at that, you know. But
yeah, they probably play tennis too. And they're, yeah, I know. I know that.
I played pickleball the other day. I played pickleball.
How was that, Luke?
Pretty fun. It's like, you know, do you want to play tennis? Just run less. Are you not skilled enough and you don't want to run as much? Let's just narrow it a little bit.
You know, Jay Aaron has a hot friend and the two of them are like a championship local pickleball doubles team.
Yep. The lady and the cuck.
All right, let's go over to Mr. Damn Fine.
Damn.
We'll be the judge of that, sir. When are we going to see you two box each other in virtual reality?
In virtual reality?
VR, Luke, VR.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe soon. I don't know. I'm not. Yeah. VR kind of sucks, you know? It's not that great. It does suck.
And you get sweaty, too, when you're doing it. Like they have like a, you ever go to the arcade and they got the VR thing and you put the headset on and it's fun, but then you get like all sweaty and it's.
Yeah, you know what? Wake me up when VR is like Tron and I get to go and be in like the future or some shit.
Yeah.
As long as I have to walk around and just hang out with other losers who don't want to interact in society, man.
I'd like to hang out less with at Zuck than I already do right now, Luke. So I'm staying away from all VR components moving forward. This one's from Poetisson. What 90s song? Look, are you dying over there?
Dude, I wasn't sick when I first got up this morning, but I am sick now.
Oh,
for sure.
Yeah. Newark train station, baby. You know what I mean? Yeah, catching up with you. There it is. Which 90s song would you two use to describe each other?
Newark air is like just the Newark train station air is just getting like teabagged by the wind. It's just filth and feces running across your face. What was the question?
What 90s song would describe me? And then I have to give the answer about you.
So I have to pick a 90s song that would describe you.
Yeah, please go with I Touch Myself by the Divinals if you want full accuracy.
Yeah, that or Jeremy by Pearl Jam.
BC
spoken class today.
Seemed a harmless little, but yeah. Luke, for you, I would go with Bitch by Meredith Brooks or probably something by like Alice in Chains, Luke, right?
I was going to say Alanis Morissette because BC will also go down on you in a theater. That really, he will do that.
Only if Uncle Joey is a part of this equation, cut that out, Luke. Yes. Yeah, that was him, dude. That was really him.
I know. She had a number one hit talking about how mad she was. She had to blow Uncle Joey. We're like, we could have told you that. We could have told you that wasn't a... Listen, Alanis. Yeah. Listen. We could have told you that was not going to be a money experience. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, we could have warned you.
Let's keep it going here, Luke. This is Gavin Rowland. Very serious MMA question. If Francis is able to secure this big boxing fight he's chasing, assuming he loses, how much would that hurt PFL? Seems like alongside the inactivity, Francis's stock would take a big hit with a boxing loss.
No. Mayweather McGregor, did he have something to sell about it afterwards? Yes, he did. So, you know, if he goes in there and just gets stopped in 30 seconds, BC, you would agree, that's probably pretty bad. But if he has whatever it looks like, some moment of redemption, some moment of flair that people remember and enjoy and appreciate, doesn't matter if he loses after that.
Absolutely. I do think, like, let's say a worst case scenario that he gets knocked out cold early, just like you don't belong in here. I think there's intrigue in seeing him come back and fight MMA, but if you're PFL, then you would really need to get an opponent that we would be like, oh, that guy could win, right? You know what I mean? Like, you'd have to utilize that doubt from that boxing match to some degree, but I don't know. Dude, Francis got a good chin, too. A great chin. I mean, Francis has a will. He's got a will, Luke.
Exactly. Right, so
he also might get handled and stopped, but
there's a scenario where like it could go badly, but there's a lot of scenarios where it doesn't necessarily go badly.
Right. There's not a lot of scenarios, by the way, where he wins or is in a position to have a chance to win outside of, again, the puncher's chance, but there is scenarios that he exceeds our expectations, shows a ton of heart, and maybe even has you going, oh crap, maybe this guy could box if he decides to, you know. That would be like the best. And that's where we were at post Maymac, to be fair, dude. I know we kind of rewrote it over the years because it seems now we're more aware that Floyd like waited him out to a degree. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like Connor let all his punches out for four rounds and then started walking him down and exposing his lack of everything, gas tank, all that. But true or false, Luke, we exited Maymac saying Connor could do this for a living if he wanted to.
Or I think could do it for a living. I don't know. I didn't come out of that necessarily saying
not,
that.
Not but, be a champion, but we were like, he looks like he could transition. I felt that was fair from that.
No, I did not get that opinion. But what I did say, well, what
which
I
kind
do
of transition
think,
are you talking about in like the male to female way?
You thought based on that, he could be a successful boxer?
If he wanted to, yes. I was impressed by the footwork and technique, not the power. It wasn't there, but the footwork and technique. it did impress me. And it wasn't like he was without like showing you that he's a novice. No, he was a novice, but dude, like we thought he was going to get walloped.
Dude, I mean, Mayweather's a salesman. Connor's a little bit tricky at first. Dude, the way he got walked down in that 10th round, he'd get walked down by a lot of guys. And Mayweather was old in that fight. You can pretend like he wasn't. He was.
Yeah, that's another fair point.
You know, like
I don't know. I just felt like he had made the transition.
Dude, he performed.
If he wanted to get serious, he could have.
Here's what I do think is possible. Like, I want to be clear. Like, Connor is a great striker. The fact that he's not a good boxer is not to say irrelevant, but that's really not what I judge him on. I judge him on what he actually tries in, and it's a different combat sport with different leverages, different ranges, different weapons, different timing, different durations, different. I mean, it's so different. I don't expect him to be good at boxing. I think it's kind of silly to expect him to be good at boxing. I expect him to be good at MMA, and during that stretch, he was fucking excellent at it, right? So, you know, that's how I judge him. But what I did think was possible after fighting Mayweather was he could get another big fight. Now, I didn't know what that was or who it would be. That part was a little bit unclear, but like, would people pay for this again from McGregor, and could he turn in another performance like this that gave some life to the idea that he could win? But did I think he could go box? No, I did not think he could go box.
I mean, I only meant that if he had done it full time, if he had transitioned, but I thought the foundation and the base was there, but maybe I'm wrong. Look,
dude, let's he can't go 10 rounds. Like, how are you going to go 12? You know,
that's fair. That's also fair. I mean, why can't he? Cause you know, look, I rewatched Poirier 2 and 3 recently. Why does Connor always gas out?
I don't know if it's his resource management. Like, do I think he's a good athlete? Yes. Do I think he trains hard? Yes. Do I think that he trains probably in the way that he's supposed to for the most part? Now, there's been camps where I think that's been true. Also been true that, like, you know, Alvarez didn't push him that night. I wonder if Alvarez had pushed him, would we have seen a night where Connor could do it? Like, we've only seen the ones where he couldn't, because like the second Nate fight was at 170. So that's not the best representation.
He was coming off of the second Nate fight where he survived all of the areas that normally would have led him to a stamina-induced stoppage loss. He, in the Nate fight at 202, he nipped all of those scare moments in the bud and came back with more. So maybe he used that momentum into the Eddie fight at that point. Luke Thomas.
Eddie Alvarez. Yeah. Yeah, all I'm pointing out is, like, it's not to say that I don't think he can go those kinds of distances, but whether it's the way he punches, whether it's the way he manages himself, like, and again, dude, the way you move in the boxing ring will also affect your cardio. You have to have, for 12 round elite fighting, you have to have very efficient footwork by and large, and especially in that weight class. And he's got a very, very different kind of footwork. It's lethal, it's great, it's just not perfectly built for duration, you know.
Let's go over to Jack Suddeth. What do us fans have to do for Brian to put on a gi and roll with Luke?
Oh my God. What is up with these guys? Like, what are you two guys?
All of these end in us banging, apparently, Luke.
Yeah. I mean, what are you two guys just going to get it over with and just bang? Have some mouth sex.
Luke, is there a scenario? Here's the deal. If the closest it could come is this, you know how we like, we're kind of building a nice little connection with Gilbert Burns. We've gone to his gym twice to interview him.
Yeah.
Let's say ahead of the next fight, he invited us back. And let's say he was like, hey man, you want to come do like a workout thing on tape? We'll have fun with it.
Which he would not do, but yeah.
Which he wouldn't. I get it. And then you and I had a gi on and we were talking trash. And then like Henry Hooft walks by and he's like, hey, who would win between you guys right there? And Luke's like, I'm not doing that. My back, my vagine, you know? And I'm like, yo, I'll take that dude on right now with the doc cams going. Let's do it, bro. And we did it, Luke.
Yeah. It would go very poorly for you. Yeah.
Do you think I would give up full mount fairly quickly or what?
Full mount or the back. Yeah. Either one.
What if I took the strategy that Brendan Schaub took against that jiu-jitsu guy?
Oh, against Abreu and just like,
Yeah.
It would go well for you.
All right, Luke. There we go. All right, let's keep this going.
Hey, you can't say he got submitted. He didn't get submitted.
Oh, you can't. You can't.
No, I mean, he barely got touched.
Yeah. Didn't even have to use his stand-up skills, Luke.
Oh, look at you. I mean, just being gratuitous. Just gratuitous. Let me ask you a question, BC. Are you a little hungry for some Reddit love? Is that what's happening here?
No, no, not at all. I'm trying to distance myself from all hateful platforms. No, no, I'm serious. I'm serious. I like comedy, though. I'll tell you that much. Like good comedy, I like that a lot, Luke. You know what I mean?
What do we? Let's go. Dude, I got to sit down. Someone recommend to me, because I'm always being a hater about this, but I don't know any better. You know, what is a good Bert Kreischer thing to watch? Where if you're like, okay, so here's the thing. Imagine
man boobs. Look,
hold on. But imagine someone was like, "Show me something from Bert Kreischer that is like, in like the funniest thing he's got, and it's not that long Russian bit where like he never gets to the punchline." I'm talking about the like something else. What else does he have? What is it? What would that be? Does he just masturbate on stage? Just you know.
We got a question here.
Instead of smashing watermelons, he's just busted.
Well, Gallagher has evolved his product. Yeah.
By the way, so our producer on MK loves Bert Kreischer, and every time he's like, "Yo, I like Bert. Don't you be besmirching his name."
Mikey did go to bat for Bert, like out of nowhere. Was like, "No, that's my guy. That's my guy." You know.
So he's got stand-up specials on Netflix. Are they long?
Oh, dude, Mikey is challenging you to us to watch the Bert Kreischer stand-up special on Netflix. Yo, we should do an MK review on that shirtless bastard, Luke. All right, homework?
Yeah. He says that he goes to bat for the guys that we're wrong about, including BC Alan W. Wow. He's throwing down the thunder there, my friend.
Oh, he's throwing down Danger Mouse as well, Luke. I think we ran him off, unfortunately. Hey, where do you think Damien the Donk is right now?
Prison.
I hope not.
Prison.
I mean, he's like a single dad, you know? He was like a podcaster. Yeah. I hope not him, too.
Tattoo of a toddler hanging on his chest. Yeah, that was like...
Yeah.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot.
It was intense. That was very intense.
Imagine if your CPA had that. Like, would you trust them? It's like, guys, here's your refund. It's only going to be $300 this year. It's like, I don't trust your math. You have a dead kid hanging on your chest. You know?
Yeah. Is there yet a term for showing? What's the word I'm looking for, Luke? Because of tattoos, like if you like showing a bias or a, you know what I'm saying? Like a stereotype against people with tattoos, you said, not hiring them for the job because they have a neck tat. So you assume that they're crazy and that they steal.
Oh yeah. There's all kinds of that. Yeah.
Oh, like for lawsuits and everything. Yeah.
I don't know about where's this question going? I don't know. Who fucking cares? Can you read the next one?
Who cares? Oh, wow. Luke, you look like me trying to figure out that SAT math problem there. Yeah, that's great.
I wasn't sick like this, like even 2 hours ago. And now I'm like, dude, what the fuck?
Maybe you're breaking out in hives, Luke, because you're nervous.
I think my daughter sneezed in my face a few days ago, and this is the result. Kids, bro, they just bring home every disease known to man.
They love getting sick. They're the worst. Bullfrog Actual says, are there any UFC fighters that you want to see compete in BKFC? Will Mike Perry's success be repeated? So Luke, let's say we could
dude, magically, most of the time when people want to see a UFC fighter compete in BKFC, it's almost as punishment. Like, I hope you have to fight BKFC, you know.
I mean, they're probably, a lot of them are going to end up there anyway, so you'll get your wish. But Luke, is there anybody who's active now and not like at Tony Ferguson level where they may actually be in BKFC in one more fight that you're like, you know what? I actually would be intrigued by watching them pull a Mike Perry.
I mean, Mike Chandler, honestly, I wouldn't want him to do it, but like, would it be good? Yes, it would be good. Shavkat Rakhmonov, Khamzat Chimaev, like, you know, any of those guys who just kind of bite
Meatball
down on the mouth.
Meatball Molly or no?
Yeah, maybe to an extent. Sure.
She can punch. Look, she's tough as nails. She can punch for sure. Let's go over to Penn Deegan. Why does Brian like so many strawweight fives? That's such a rude question, Luke. Because first of all, they're tens to me.
They're what?
They're tens to me, Luke. Okay.
Wait, what was the question about strawweights?
Why does Brian like so many strawweight fives? Meaning
this person writing the question is evaluating them from looks, and then
right, which is not what we do anyway in our MMA fandom. So it's, you know, it's,
dude, Brian, you know, Brian has the strangest taste in women I've ever seen. It's like
I like to watch realistic movies, Luke. Okay, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but not like depressing. Your wife is lovely, so I'm not counting that. But like the women, like you, kind of show me in office, like, "Yo, isn't this great?" I'm always like, "BC, this is quite obviously fucking terrible. Why would you even think this is a good like?" No, he'll be like, "What are we talking about?" And then it'll be a white person. I'll be like, "Oh."
There you go.
He's just grading them on a curve, you know.
Meanwhile, Luke shows me these women. I'm like, "Have you seen her face?" Luke's like, "Nope."
You know what I show him? I show him Latin women with big old fat asses, and he's like, "Oh, that's gross." And I'm like, "It's not. It's not."
You know, I don't know if I ever said the word gross, but it, you know, it's very aggressive, Luke. It's a lot, you know.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Thank the good Lord, you know. It's
a lot going on there. Thank you. Let's go over to Twin Nightmare. What would it take for both of you guys to share a blunt with an MK donk?
A blunt? Like, just show up and offer one. We'll probably just smoke it. You know, it's not like, there's no grand process. It's not Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. You don't have to win a fucking ticket. Just show
up. What
if
we had a contest where every time we're in studio, Luke, one lucky MK fan is chosen to pay their own way to fly to Jersey City and then be waiting outside the door with a blunt as we leave. That's really the contest.
Just show up. Yeah, that's it.
All right, there you go. Luke, let me rephrase that. If I offered you a chance to share a vape pen or a blunt with any UFC fighter for 15 minutes, who are you picking right now?
I don't know how you... Well, you said UFC fighter, right?
It's you and me. It's you, me, and the fighter you choose for 15 minutes. Who are you
picking? Well, I would have said Nate Diaz, but he's not a UFC fighter, so that doesn't count. So under that condition, we got 15 minutes to hit the pen. I said hit the pipe. That's a good one.
You wanna?
I don't know. I haven't thought about that. That's a great question. What do you think, BC?
I mean, Derek Lewis would have to be high up in this conversation if you're going to look into maximizing the, you know, Mikey, you wrote Tai Tuivasa in there. Was that for this category or something different? Probably something different. But Luke would for BKFC, Mikey wants Tai Tuivasa. Yeah, that's a great pick, by the way, on there. Yeah. You know, I could offer Rashad Evans, but he's not active, Luke. I don't know, like, who do you look at as a fighter right now that you, like, don't really know? You may not have interviewed them yet or extensively, but you're like, you know what? They look kind of interesting. They would be the answer for this question.
I don't know about that, but like Corey Sandhagen's from Colorado. That seems like a good candidate, you know?
Yeah.
And I bet he's not. I bet he's a chill high, too.
Dude, Brian Ortega is the pick here. You know what I mean?
Walk me through it.
He's going to have tremendous stories, right?
You just want to smoke and then stare into his dreamboat eyes. Is that what you're just tired of looking at my ugly face and you want to look at something a little bit better than that? I mean, I don't blame you.
I bet he'd be cool as shit too, is really where I'm going with that, Luke. But yeah, maybe we could just skip and go right to where his stories would end up. You know, you never know, Luke. Would you be interested?
Well, you know what?
If I won this contest and I picked Joanna, would you join the trio?
No. How about Johnny Walker? Dude, my man's got some stories, right? Just dicking down half of Europe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's. Do you think that if we ever do another live show, we not only should have a meet and greet, we should have a post meet and greet outside where the donks just provide blunts for you, Luke?
I'd be in favor of that. Mm-hmm.
What if I told you that of the 10 blunts that we would sample, at least one is rolled with GHB and one of our listeners is, you know, it's just, you know what I'm saying? I mean, would you still take that risk?
The old Appy special, huh?
I mean, there's a 1 in 10 chance that you end up like most of Appy's,
you know. Yeah. You missed a kidney.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you know, it's, listen, you got to roll the dice, play the game.
All right. This one's Luke from Kellen Jenkins. This is for both of you. What are your 3 favorite bands and 3 favorite rappers of all time? Luke, who are your 3 favorite bands of all time? I guess he's basically saying the bands would be rock music and then rap would be hip hop, Luke. Okay. So if we're going to separate.
I thought about this the other day. Like, Metallica put out some album recently and I haven't even listened to it. And when I was a kid, you know, especially around Injustice for All and the Black Album, like, I loved Metallica. I even loved Metallica. I tried to, like, you know, tell myself that the load and reload phase wasn't a big deal. But obviously, everything before that was just tremendous. You know, I really loved those first, like, 5 albums, basically. And, oh, yeah. But would I even put them on the list? I haven't even listened to their new album. I don't even care, you know?
You don't have, like, go-to your favorite bands of all time that if someone's like, who are your 3 favorite bands of all time?
So, for sure, the answer for number one is very easy. It's Pantera, right? I mean,
okay.
Like, it's Pantera. Like,
would
that's
you put the Beatles
one.
In your top 3, Luke? You do talk about them.
Well, you're asking, like, who are, like, the 3 most influential or the 3 ones that, like, I like the most?
I'm asking your 3 favorite. Your 3 favorite.
So, I'd put Pantera on that list. I'd probably put Helmet on that list.
Helmet, wow. All right.
I love Helmet. After that, dude, I'm not sure. Like, growing up, it would have been Metallica. But, like, now that's just – it sounds like Christian dad rock to me. It doesn't – it's not interesting at all. And I know a lot of Metallica fans my age disagree, whatever. So I don't know, like Tool would be another one I like a lot, that I listen to a lot. Wow.
All right.
Something like Deftones, you, maybe for a
okay,
time.
Okay, these bands you offered as potential top 3 were better than I thought we would end up. I really did. So that's
decent. I know. You think I'm like abortion, AIDS, and Pimples. Those are my 3 favorite bands. It's a little more to it than that.
I mean, sometimes you do stray to those areas, Luke. I would go with the Jimi Hendrix Experience, the Byrds, and maybe Traffic or Joni Mitchell. I mean, at times Bob Dylan could fit in there. The Beatles had been in there before, the Stones, the Dead. I mean, Luke, you know, I've been around those circuits, but you know, I'd probably go Jimmy, the Byrds, and Joni. I'm sorry, Luke. She took over a big part of my life the last few years, and I don't think I'm getting it back, and I'm okay with it. Luke, 3 favorite.
Hold on. What's your favorite Alanis Morissette song? You got to have one.
Yeah, I like Head Over Heels the best.
Oh, you are such a bitch.
Head Over Feet. Is that what it's called?
Head Over Heels. God, you suck, dude. That's the best you can come up with?
Luke, dude, don't be surprised.
It's obviously I got one hand in my pocket and the other one's giving up a sign.
Yeah, no, that one's lame. She's pretty, in hindsight, she's pretty lame, but she was cool. We admit it. She had good videos and there was enough rockers that when that debut record came out, it was kind of fire for a bit.
Jagged Little Pill was like the biggest thing in music when it was out. It's hard to explain that to anybody now, but like, you know how big Bad Bunny is now? Alanis Morissette was bigger than that. Like, she was fucking enormous.
That's in the conversation for the greatest. It wasn't in my top 10 recently when we did this exercise, but the greatest debut albums in rock history. Like, that's got to be considered.
Yeah.
It sold.
Her follow up
shit
wasn't as good, but Jagged Little Pill, like, my first real girlfriend I had came after that. Like, high school girlfriend came after that. Album was released, and it was like her favorite record. You know, it was a big deal. So,
yeah, Luke, I tend to like the ballads. I'm a ballad guy, Luke. You know what I mean?
I didn't realize you were like, you got a little me. I'm like, oh, the ballad part, you can just cut that shit out. You know?
Yeah. You know, I have feelings and warm blood inside of me, Luke. That's definitely for real,
dude. There's bands like Killswitch Engage, and they got these like hardcore names. But if you listen to like their music, it's not what the name gives off. You think like, oh, they're just devil rock. No, Killswitch Engage, they'll do like the heavy riffing, and then in every song they stop to like sing a pretty tune that's like very melodic, and a lot of people like that. And to me, it's like, dude, stick with the song you were fucking making. Yeah. You don't have to have these like, rhapsodic.
Why is there so much dialogue in this film? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just, you know, be a master storyteller and don't do that.
Tell stories so with like your that. Balls. Yeah, please.
Dude, I got to tell you, the new Cattle Decapitation album, not doing a bit, and I know you hate on them. The new one, Terracite, is legit. One of my favorite tracks, We Eat Our Young. Great song.
Yeah, they eat what they kill, Luke. We know that at the end of the day. Luke, they also asked your three favorite rappers. Let's also throw in hip-hop bands. Like, what are your hip-hop artists? Who would you say are your three favorite of all time?
Probably Vinnie Paz. As a solo artist or, like, groups or...
Groups or solo, like, whatever. Like, artists, you know?
So I would put Vinnie Paz / Jedi Mind Tricks, and that's a little bit hard to separate the two. He does have some solo work, but there, you know, it's just he's really kind of a total package in that sense. Sean Price, easy. Sean Price has been one of the most. I mean, here's my Sean Price, you know, right there. Sean Price figurine.
Is that a white guy or a black guy, Luke?
Sean Price is black. He is black. Yeah, very black. Black Muslim from Bushwick, or I should say Brownsville, Brooklyn. And then after that, it's kind of wide open. Maybe I'd say Scarface. I love fucking Scarface, man.
From the Ghetto Boys? You're talking about that Scarface?
Yeah, Scarface is just amazing. An amazing storyteller, hardcore gangster rapper with a southern edge. Golly, dude. It's Scarface. Scarface has given me... You know, you ever think back to some of the times that music brought you the most joy, whether you're happy or sad, just yes. Brought the most joy. There was a time in my life, I'll find the song. I forget the name of it now. I haven't listened to it in so long because the lyrics are so hardcore. I had to kind of keep it out of rotation. He goes, I'm a bank robber. Woo! I'm a natural born killer. Drug dealer. Oh, God, what's the name of that song? That song brought me so much joy when I first heard it. I could not believe how good it was. Let me pull that one up.
Yeah, in the parking lot of Big Chicken with some whippets. Luke, I would go with...
No. That was later. I was in my 20s by that point.
A Tribe Called Quest I would go with. No, I would go with Public Enemy because I owned everything they ever made, but that does age me. But I, you know, that's fine, Luke. You know, I was a part of that commercial rap era, even though they're not really known as a commercial act, political act. But the third one, you know, I'd probably go Tupac there, Luke, for the third one, you know, because, you know, I liked some gimmicky rap, though, and you would make fun of me. Like, I was real into, like, Black Sheep and, of course, Third Base and, but whatever.
The hook for this song is I can squeeze without blinking. I'm a cold-blooded, your favorite word, bank robber. Woo! I'm a natural-born killer, drug dealer. Anything it took to survive, and he goes on from there, dude. The song is called In Cold Blood. It's from the Fix album. Absolute fucking artwork.
Looks like I learned so much life wisdom from Scarface.
Okay. Let's stop for just a moment. This is where you begin to be racist. This is the line right here. This is the line, because you hear this stuff and what you do is you make the common error that what you're hearing is maybe meant for mass production, which to some extent, of course, all this artwork is that's got a major label under it. But more to the point that not only is there anything not really redeeming about the artwork, but that there actually isn't much art mastery in there or wisdom or something clever to be told. And in fact, when you actually begin to really engage with the material, there is a significant amount of wisdom that comes from it. In this particular case, this is merely storytelling. I get that.
What was largely lost in the Risen debacle, to be fair.
You're being like someone's dad when you do that.
You know, I really wasn't against Japan or Risen in that scenario, Luke. I was against you. Okay, so that's also a big part of it. Luke, this gentleman also wants to know your three favorite adult film stars. Rocco, and then we can move on, right? You know,
Rocco's gross, dude. All these guys who breathe through their teeth.
Okay, I'm done with this part of the show. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Hold on, I'm not gonna do it again. But are you not with me? It's like, please stop breathing through your teeth. Please stop. Please stop doing that.
Yeah, there you go, Luke. Let's go over to 21 Randy O. Do you think part of the reason Ngannou MMA fight isn't until 2024 is to see if the PFL will finalize the Bellator purchase by then and maybe have him fight Ryan Bader? Luke, that did seem to be a hot rumor at one point, the PFL Bellator thing, but I feel like that rumor has come and gone. Would that be an accurate statement?
Say that again.
That the whole Bellator PFL rumor, I don't feel like that's as hot as it once was.
Yeah, I mean, the latest I've heard, I mean, I want to be clear, they were in the running to buy it. That was real. It sounds like it's going to go in a different direction, but nothing's finished or done. So it sucks, because that would have been good. That would have been good for PFL to get them. I don't know what happened. I don't know if they have enough money or whatever, but that would have been huge to just buy that segment and put those two organizations. Maybe they'll co-promote, who knows, but I don't know. I feel like an opportunity is lost there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know how we were talking about potential Francis PFL debut opponents that we'd be okay with? And as the things are laid out right now, there's certainly very little information or potential out there. We can all throw out Overeem or kickboxers or whatever. But Luke, have you identified anyone for real that if it was, that you would want nothing to do with and you don't approve? Like if it ends up being Ngannou debuting in the PFL against Big Ben Rothwell, are you out?
Yeah, I would not. I mean, dude, take the PFL for where they're at on this. Take them for where they're at. They want an opponent that can sell on pay-per-view. Fine, get one. Like, I'm not going to grade them on a curve. You know, getting Francis was big, but I'm not interested in Francis versus, you know, Bruno Capolazzo.
I'd actually be more interested in a post-USADA Bruno Capolozza than any other old name you can drum up that has a UFC, ex-UFC attached to his name. You know what I mean?
Fine, but it's not going to sell on pay-per-view, and it's not really what I want to spend my money on personally. You know?
No, you're right. All those things are true.
Like, if you're going to do this, do it. Do it the right way to the best of your capabilities, whatever that looks like. And that's the gamble they made, dude. That's the gamble they made, you know? So
right, and that's why, like, you know, we can support Francis on this side of the debate about this if there is one, but we also have to be like, yo, it's also up to the PFL to make this deal work for them. It's not a guarantee. You could say the odds may not even be with them that it's possible even, but let's see what they can do. I mean, I'm just thinking there's got to be a name we're not thinking of that would surprise us. Not Josh Barnett, but that would be one in that category. But is there someone that we're not thinking of that like Krokop? No, fucking seriously, BC, did you say Krokop? Yeah, I guess I did. But something like that, that's a wild card. We're like, oh yeah, dude, how old is that person? I haven't thought of them in a while. Is there anyone else?
I don't know. There's the Verdum thing, but dude, like, again, if they got Brock, I doubt that could happen, but like, I'm just saying,
yeah,
if they got Brock,
that'd be something different. Yeah, that'd be something.
That'd be huge.
Yeah, God bless you. Maybe it'll be Maheta when he gets done with USADA, Luke. Maybe. We'll find out there.
Jesus Christ, I'm sick. Good Lord.
Well, Luke, it's a good timing, and thank you for shouting out the Lord and Savior there. We're out of fan questions now, Luke. We ran through the mailbag. Turns out the bag is as empty and deflated now as our own. You know what I mean? Our own bags, right? You know, just, I mean, it's like the accumulation of age, you know, misuse and stuff. Yeah. But God bless you again, and you know, God bless the those who gave all, Luke, for us to celebrate this holiday today of Memorial Day. But we still had to fill the bag, right? We still had to time to make the donuts, Luke. You know, I said that to my kids the other day. They're like, "What are you talking about, Dad?" Luke, when I say that, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Dunkin' Donuts commercial from the 1980s and 90s. Yeah,
time to get out of bed at 3 a.m. and go do what you do, because that's how we eat. You know what I'm saying? We eat what we kill, Luke. Right? Dana's right. Luke, you know, Dana's always right about one thing. Fighting is in our DNA. You know what I mean?
We get it and we like it. You know, thought about that.
Yeah. Luke, are you okay over this past weekend with Dana giving out hotel suites to Robbie Fox and other media members so that they'll cover the Power Slap too? Or are we really talking about that right now?
I mean, what would it, serious question, right? Dana calls you up and he goes, Brian Campbell, what would it take this weekend for you to fly to Vegas and cover Slap? And you have to do it professionally, you know, take it for what it is.
Yeah. Not ironically, right? Not, yeah.
Call your shot. What's the number? What is it going to take? Walk me through it.
I mean, I wouldn't accept it, Luke, because I've been so...
Okay, you wouldn't accept it, but let's say you did. Walk me through
what you're saying. If he was like, look, I respect your take, I'm not mad, but I want to give you a chance to be proven wrong. I want you to attend one card on our dime. You're going to get a suite at the Red Rocks. We'll take you out to dinner. You can have a ring card girl of your choice. No, I mean, that's just, you know, that's not, what do I look like, a Fertina here, Luke? Right. No, you know, ultimately, Luke, I think it would be more like, I'd have to turn it down, Luke, but maybe the me from like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 years ago, what do you think? I mean, is there a price for you that, all right, I guess it would have to be like your employer going, no, we really want you to do that. Go do that. We think there's big content there. Go do a first person at the slapdick thing because you've been such a person against it. Go behind the scenes. So, Luke, it's a behind the scenes tour now where you are like with Dana the whole day on all, you know, full access to Dana the whole day, but they expect you to write an honest story, you know, video companion story about it afterwards. So let's make it legit, okay? Because that's the only auspices where this conversation accelerates, right? Unless he's like, I've got a room full of Delta 9 and 8 that you can, we've got a bed that's made out of Delta 8, Luke. You can sleep on that if you go to this event. Outside of that, if that's the only way, Luke, would you do that?
No, I'm being dead serious. This is what it would take. I'm not bullshitting. You're going to have a car pick me up, right? You're going to put me on a first-class flight, period. There'll be nothing less than that. You're going to have a car pick me up from the airport. I'm going to have a suite at the Red Rocks, a full suite, like not a bullshit suite. I can order out of like room service and not eat it, and it all goes to you. Like no charges like, go to me.
Looks like a regular trip for me. Yes. Well, yeah.
I wish. I fucking wish. And then, honestly, BC, you're going to say I'm doing a bit, but we're talking wish list. Like I can call my shot to the nth degree. Dude, you're going to wire to my bank account $50,000 cash. You're going to
wire. Oh my God. I thought you were going to say I get a one-on-one interview with Dana on camera in my hotel room.
No, no, I don't care about any of that. I'm trying to put Tukey through school. Motherfucker, please.
You're like, it actually would take 50K. 50. So you're like, whatever bonus they were going to give to that finish on the undercard.
Yeah,
on
no, Saturday no, that's night, coming to know, me. That's coming that's to me. Coming to me. Yeah.
Wow, Mikey offered.
And then I would go, and then I would go, and I would try to treat it as best I could.
Mikey thought that I would pick 20-minute interview alone with Ioana, and I assume he wanted you to pick that you get to slap Dana one time.
Nah, not interested in committing crimes. Not interested in that.
I mean, I
just journalism crimes.
Yeah. To be fair, but hopefully Robbie Fox enjoyed that Slap-a-mania 2 coming your way pretty soon. That's our Memorial Day show. Luke Thomas, we encourage people to go to youtube.com/morningcombat if you want more fun bonus stuff from Room Service Diaries. To remember, we used to do High Court. That was great.
Yeah.
Think about the premise. One day you're like, they used to pay us to like sit in the eighth row, put on an English wig in our own studio,
and just yell at each other.
And you know, Luke, if this ride ever ends, we'll look back and we'll say this was a hell of a ride.
BC, how many times are we going to record on the roof going forward? Like that's over, right? Like we're not doing that anymore now.
I don't know. I don't know, but
shouts to Chuck Mendenhall for no particular reason. Shouts to him.
Yeah. I mean, look, can I ask you a question right now in MMA media? Who do you actually like?
I like a lot of them, but I don't really like read and follow. Do I follow Bloody Elbow.
Okay. I want to offer a name. Now he comes across very gas station-y despite his law degree, Luke. You know Jed Meshew from MMA Fighting?
Yeah, you love Jed, yeah.
That guy's good, Luke. I mean, he takes chances, you know, that guy, you know, he, I mean, you know, if you had a guess at his search history, I'd probably agree with you. But outside of that, you know, that guy's getting after it, you know?
Yeah, he's a hustler.
Yeah. All right. I guess that's it, Luke. That's all.
I have to take a dump that can only be described as.
Well, I mean, you don't have love for John S. Nash, Luke. Not
yes, of course I do. I said anyone at Bloody Elbow, I read their stuff. I read the headlines and stuff, but like I'm mostly focused on what we're doing. I'm not The problem is, I've said this before. No, the thing is, I used to listen to like a lot of different podcasts, and then I found out like I would just kind of like their opinions would just kind of become mine because it was I was hearing it, and I hated the way that was influencing me. So
yeah,
I kind of would have to go to it afterwards, and now I just don't even go like make that move at all.
I think some people do that too. They listen to our show, and then they have like these opinions, and then you know, but like. You know, we're all swimming in the same pool at the end of the day, Luke. Only some of us are pissing in it happily and willingly. Yeah,
you're bathing in my urine. Enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, at the end of the day. All right, that's it. I don't really want, you know, that's it. That's the end of it. Thank you, Mikey Mormile, behind the scenes for being a true American, a Floridian, though, at that. Do you think Mikey's been in Florida long enough to be considered a Florida man?
Here's the question. Has Mikey ever illegally carried a handgun? I'm not sure what is illegal with handguns in Florida, but let's just assume there's some version of that. Or even just touched his lips on a meth pipe. Oh, wow. Or walked across a highway carrying a dead animal. Has he done any of the three?
Mikey says 8 years he's now in Florida. I think that's common law that he is now a Florida man. Luke, I think it's legal to put a Glock in the waistband of your sweatpants in Florida. I think that is a legal place.
Dude, I used to do a bit on my show where they would either like read a real Florida man story or they would make up one and I had to guess whether it was real. And there was one time they actually played the tape for it later. There was a guy they called the cops on because he was practicing his karate on swans, kicking him in the face and shit.
Stop looking at me, swan. Yes, indeed. We're out of here, Luke. That's it. You know, unless you want to count down your favorite expired food items, Luke, you know.
Yeah, it's like what kind of food that you can't even eat anymore without dying? Rank your top three.
Yeah, thank you, mailbag senders. All right, okay, return to sender. Right. We're out of here. That's LT on BC. Thank you for patronizing us. cameo.com/ Brian Campbell for more. And on Thursdays, Luke has plenty of options for you to pay him for attention. Yeah. Morty Combat is gone. Thank you. We're out of here. Yeah.
Bye.